Welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
At all of our locations, let's thank God for His presence today. Come on, let's clap our hands. Welcome to Focus Church. Come on, Southside, where you at today? Westside, where you at this morning? How about my family on the east side? Man, we are so glad that you decided to worship with us today. My name is Mike. My wife, Ashton, and I moved our whole family, three kids in diapers in a 24-foot box truck a little over 11 years ago to plant this church. And it's grown, and we've seen God do some incredible things. And we're just honored that you decided to worship with us today, especially if you're here for the very first time. Let's clap our hands and welcome all of our first-time guests today. And we're so glad that you've decided to worship with us. Listen, we know that finding a church home can be a big struggle. If you're at our west location or our south location or our east location, I know that in a crowd this size, there can be many families maybe kicking the tires or trying church out again for the first time in a long time. And we just want to say, welcome home. The best way to get connected is to fill out one of these purple U cards. It's located in the seat around you, so you can go ahead and grab that at any point during the experience. Fill that out. And then on your way out today, there will be a special group of people that are there to meet you and greet you at our new here area. And we would love for you to exchange this card for a free gift. And it's just our way of saying, welcome to the family. We're really glad that you decided to worship with us today. We know that you have options, and we believe that you chose wisely. And again, we just want to say welcome home. Let's clap our hands for all of our first-time guests today. So honored. So honored that you're here again. Thank you. My name is Mike. And this Friday night, we have our vision team encounter. And if you know anything about our church, is we love to encounter the presence of God in very special ways throughout the year. I remember back to our New Year's Eve night of worship, where all three campuses came under one roof to ring in or bring in the new year. I don't know which term you use, if it's ring in or bring in, but we did both. We rang it in and we brought it in on December 31st all together. And then just recently we had our night of prophecy. Pastor Bard, he was just moved in the prophetic. It was awesome. And this Friday night, August 18th, we're going to be having our vision team encounter. And this is for anyone who serves on any team at any location in any capacity. You might be one of those people that only serve on fifth Sundays, meaning you serve only four times a year because there are only four fifth Sundays in the year. You're still welcome to join us for our vision team encounter. There's going to be childcare provided. It's going to be an awesome time in the presence of the Lord. It's a chance for us to galvanize our spirits together in unity under one roof before our growth season happens, which is when school starts again. And I know that many of you will really benefit from just seeing other people that you serve alongside with without the pressure of another service or without the pressure of having to set up or tear down. It's just a time for family. So this Friday night, go to focus.church/VTE to RSVP and let us know if you're bringing all 12 of your kids or whatnot so we can have snacks prepared accordingly. We are in a series of messages titled The Miracles of Jesus. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5. And this really comes right off the heels of the narrative that we were in last week, which was when Jesus calms the storm. And today I want to read you a lengthy passage of Scripture, so I hope you can bear with me. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5, but I think you need to hear all the nuance that's found in this narrative where Jesus delivers a demoniac. And our church is spirit-filled, charismatic, unapologetically. And I want to let you know, we're going to talk about deliverance this morning, but it's not going to get weird. At least I hope it's not going to get weird. It's up to you whether it gets weird or not. I'm just going to preach on it. And I would deem this sermon today a light coat of paint on the subject of demonology. If you're looking for a richer, deeper understanding of that, join a life group this fall and get into some teaching with some of our life group leaders, and we would love to dive deeper. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, we're looking at some of the miracles that Jesus performed. He performed about 37 miracles recorded in Scripture, but today we're just going to look at one. Mark chapter 5. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." And then he says, "In God's name, don't torture me." Verse 8, "For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.'" Jesus uses his authority to exercise his right to see impure spirits flee from a man who has been tormented. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus is not just concerned with your condition. He is also concerned with who you are. And he says, "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Legion is a Roman military term, which means 5,000 men. Meaning this man was not being tormented by one, not by two, not by three, but a legion of demons, 5,000 demons he was being tormented. And it had even changed his name. He was so tormented that he had even changed his name. Some of you at the sound of my voice, you grew up in such a dark environment, such a demonic presence, that it's even changed the very name that you carry. And I just want to declare freedom over your life this morning. Verse 10, "And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area." Verse 11, "A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them.'" Meaning we don't want to go back to Hades. We don't want to go back to hell. We want to stay here, and we would rather possess demons, possess pigs, than go back to hell. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd was about 2,000 in number, and they rushed down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned. The demons killed the pigs almost instantly. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there. Notice, seated, rested, no longer tormented. See, you'll find rest when you get free. You'll find a seat when you get free. You'll find yourself seated in authority and in adoption when you get free. Then look at this, dressed. Notice it changes even the way you wear clothes will change when you get free. When you receive the new identity that comes in Jesus, it will change not only the interior of who you are, but it begins to transform the exterior of who you are. And then it says, "And in his right mind," and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. They said, I got a crazy story. You know the guy in the hills that's been cutting himself with stones and screaming and yelling and always living amongst the tombs. Jesus cast out the demons from him, put it into 2,000 pigs, and the pigs committed suicide. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. We'll get to that in a minute, why Jesus was asked to leave. As Jesus was getting back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let's pray at all of our locations. Lord, we submit to you that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I just pray for anyone who might be experiencing a pressure, oppression, chains, a spirit upon them that is impure. I pray that by the time we are through together this morning, at all of our locations, that there would be a sense of freedom in the house, that this would be a place of freedom today, that we would no longer be bound, we would no longer be chained, but instead we would be free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today I'd like to talk to you on the miracle of deliverance. The miracle of deliverance. If you're taking notes, the miracle of deliverance. And nothing is a coincidence with God. Nothing is a coincidence with God. He knew that he showed the disciples how he can calm the chaotic waves in the narrative before, and then he also shows the disciples how he can calm a tormented spirit in the following narrative. Jesus has been on a mission to display the miraculous, and the reason he displays the miraculous is to build our faith. Right? We don't seek the miracle, we seek the miracle worker, but when we see miracles, it builds our faith in the miracle worker. And you know, I don't know if you came in need with a miracle. My family is in need of a miracle right now. Many of us at the sound of our voice, we are in need of a miracle. And I just want to remind you on the onset of this sermon today that Jesus specializes in bringing calm to chaos. He calms the storm. He calms the tormented spirit. He is a God of peace, and peace he has left with us, and peace we can receive. He does this because he wants us to believe in his power. This story is unique because it has to do with the demoniac. Now, this subject seems to be everywhere in today's world. You can't turn on Netflix without there being a ghost hunting show. You can't open up Facebook without there being a horoscope quiz. You can't open up your Instagram without seeing a stone collection that somebody believes brings them energy or life. And so you have to understand that people are specializing as mediums. And I'm like, no, I wear a large. And no, that's not what they meant. They meant that they speak to the dead. You know, there's so many things, and as a pastor, I'm looking with my eyes, and these aren't like weirdos that live in the mountains of West Virginia. I'm talking about people from North Hills in their strollers believe in the power of gemstones or some sort of seance or chants. And so this subject needs to be preached on because it's everywhere around us. Christians aren't the weird ones anymore. It's the woman who carries a gemstone in her pocket thinking that it's going to calm her baby from crying. Those are the weird ones to me. I at least have biblical precedence for what I see. And something happens, you know, when you begin to look into this stuff, and you need to understand that the New Age practice and the demonic practice and the pagan practices are everywhere. That's why I wrote in my notes, Christians should not take darkness lightly. Christians, let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Christians should not take darkness lightly. See, I read a stat that said 4 in 10 American Christians believe in psychics and spiritual energy, and they can be found, that spiritual energy can be found in physical objects. 4 in 10 Christians. Can I just tell you, as your pastor, I'm preaching from the West Campus today because I love the West Campus a lot. It's one of my favorite of the three. It's got to be top three campuses at our church. And so I'm preaching from the West Campus today. But let me just tell you right now, at this church, we do not believe that we derive energy or powers from a psychic or from tarot cards or from anything other power other than Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no rocks. There are no tarot cards. There's no quiz on Facebook. And so it affects your spiritual growth when you believe things that are a lie. So I'm here to help you today. And so here are some lessons from the deliverance of the demoniac. Number one is you need to understand that the spiritual realm is very real and very active. If you're taking notes today, the spiritual realm is very real and very active. That's why Paul told us in Ephesians 6, which is where we were just there and during our Armed and Dangerous series. You can go back and watch that on our YouTube channel. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Right, right. so much of the battle for your marriage and your family and your finances and your future is happening in the spiritual realms. During Jesus' ministry, we find a serious rise in temptation, a serious rise in demonic activity. Why? Because the devil knew what Jesus' assignment was. He knew that he was about to set humanity free from the law of sin and death. He was about to give us an alternative, a new covenant, and because of that, Jesus gets on the scene, gets water baptized, and steps into temptation. Why? Because that is the cue for the enemy to attack the people of God. When the people of God get on mission, when the people of God have an assignment, the devil starts to see your potential. What I've discovered is that most of the time, the devil believes in your potential even more than you believe in your potential. That's why you're under attack and you think it's coincidence or circumstance. No, the enemy sees you for how God has called you, sometimes even with more clarity than you do. This is what I wrote in my notes, that he is against you, not because of your past, but because of your potential. The devil is not in the punishment business. He is in the stifling and then in the distracting and in the deceiving business, because he knows that if you got on the straight and narrow, he knows that if you saw God's plans and purposes for your life, he knows that if you understood the power and potential that lies inside of you when a life is surrendered to God, then many things could happen. Now, I grew up where everything was a demon. I don't know if you grew up like me. I grew up where everything was a demon. Okay, everything was a demon. If there was a spider in the house, demon. You know, if we saw someone with one beer in their hand, the demon of alcohol. It was just a demon. It was a demon. It didn't matter. One beer, demon of alcohol, demon, demon. You know, I couldn't focus in school, so they said I had a demon, the demon of ADD. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kid's got a demon. He's going to distract it. No, I didn't have the demon of ADD. I was just a young man being forced to sit down for 6 hours in a classroom with no windows. You know, it wasn't demonic. Thank God for Ritalin. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. I was never on Ritalin. See, this is what C.S. Lewis says, another dead old guy quote. He says, there are two equal and opposite errors in which our race, the human race, can fall about the devils. Listen. One is to disbelieve in their existence, meaning to discard and disbelieve and to say it doesn't really matter. And the other is to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. It's interesting. Some people are like, I don't even want to talk about that stuff. And other people are like, all they talk about is that stuff. And you usually find what you go hunting for. If you're overly interested in the demonic, don't be surprised when you find demons. If you get obsessed with deliverance, if you get obsessed with just deliverance and you don't remember about the grace of God and the cross of Jesus Christ and good doctrine and good theology, then don't be surprised when all you do is dabble in demons. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes you're just dumb. I wrote this down in my notes. The devil didn't make you late. The Starbucks drive-thru line did. Come on now. I know some of you be blaming the devil for being late to church, but you got two coffees in your hand, you know? The devil didn't make you wreck your car. You were texting while you were driving. That wasn't the devil. Come on now. Come on. The devil didn't put you in that unhealthy, toxic relationship with that man. You replied to the DMs. Nobody likes this. Nobody likes this sermon when you get real with the church. The devil didn't get you off track on your diet. You went to McDonald's. All right. No, the devil didn't keep you from church. Your tea time on the golf course did. Come on. I wrote this in my notes. If this is really deep, so be careful because I don't want to blow your mind too much. But don't blame the devil for you being dumb. That's right. Don't blame the devil for you being dumb. See, this man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart, broke the irons on his feet. But no one was strong enough to subdue him night and day among the tombs. And in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. So what are the characteristics of a demonic attack? I'm really glad that you asked. It's not showing up late to church. It's not all of those things that you blame the devil for. Here are the characteristics of a demonic attack. Number one is isolation. Yeah. Yeah. When you start to retreat, That's why the global pandemic was so bad for so many people. They got into dark places because they got into isolated places. You will get into dark places when you get into isolated places. That's why you need a life group. That's why you need to go to party with the pastor. That's why you need to serve on a team. Why? Because it fights the demonic of isolation. Then you have strange behavior. Some people they have strange and odd behavior when they have a demon possession or the presence of demons in their life. They start to do weird things. I knew someone who would go to this roundabout in traffic, and they would just circle in traffic and roundabout. Why? They were being tormented in their mind. They're being tormented. I met someone one time who was obsessed. They were like just obsessed with the cracks in the sidewalk. They couldn't stop talking about the cracks in the sidewalk. Why? They were tormented in their mind. They had strange behavior, which goes along with the next one is mental breakdowns. If you've ever met somebody with a mental breakdown, I want to be clear. This, I'm not talking about mental illness today. I'm talking about a very spiritual, oppressive spirit that's over your heart. I do believe that there are things that you need to see a psychiatrist for and a doctor for. This is not that. This is a dark, spiritual, open door that maybe your heart has opened up. It's not mental illness. Then you see self-harm with he begin to cut himself. That's where you get kids that are looking for control of what they can control in their pain, and they're cutting their wrist and cutting themselves. That is demonic. That is demonic. And we see here proof of that because the demoniac cut himself with stones. And the last thing is a lack of self-control. You're like, I just can't stop. I just can't stop doing it. Why? Because you've given up control. You've given up control to the devil. See, I love that Jesus went out of his way to save the worst guy in town. Can I just tell you right now, whatever you're under today, you're not too far. He crossed the whole lake on a boat. He went all the way across the water just for one guy. And they kicked him off after that, and he went back on the boat and crossed back over. So the only reason he went over there was to set one person free. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but if you are oppressed in your spirit, Jesus went all the way to the cross on your behalf. There's hope for you today. The second thing is this, is Jesus is far greater and more powerful than any demonic spirit. Let me say that one more time. Jesus is far greater and more powerful than any demonic spirit. Can I just let you know how the story ends? Jesus always wins. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in charge. If you're like me, you grew up, you thought God and the devil were battling all the time. They aren't battling all the time. God is winning. He is won. He has the victory. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. You have to know that. He's already won the victory. Look how they approached Jesus in verse 7. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me?" Notice the demons are shouting through the man. "Jesus, Son of the Most High God," even the demons recognize who he is. "In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." Now, this shows us a little bit about how demons work. They aren't just floating around aimlessly in the air. You can't catch demon cooties, okay? They will infiltrate your spirit, and then they need to be cast out. They need to be cast out. If you have a demon, they has to be cast out. And there's a big difference. Let me just camp here for just a second. There's a big difference between demon possession and demon oppression, okay? There's demon possession, and there's demon oppression. Now, the term possession implies ownership. Okay? If you are possessed, it means you are owned. Something owns you. And so the Bible teaches that when we become children of God with the Holy Spirit in us, we switch ownership. We switch ownership. Who possesses us? The Spirit of God. So if you're new to faith, you're in the process of switching over ownership. And it can feel really weird, but I'm telling you right now, you're relinquishing. So the question is, who has ownership of your life? Who has ownership of your life? There are only three things that can have ownership of your life, okay? There's only three things. You can have ownership of your own life, the devil can have ownership of your life, or God can have ownership of your life. There are only three drivers. And so you have to understand that Christians, hear me very clearly, Christians can't be demon-possessed because the Spirit of God and the demonic can't go together. Now, you can have a tough time. You can be in a dark place. You can feel somewhat oppressed. But you, as a Christ follower, have the light of Jesus inside of you. And where there is light, darkness cannot stand. Now, let me bring to you out of this podium a very special guest. Okay, this is Raleigh Rachel. Okay, we've talked about Raleigh Rachel before. Raleigh Rachel is driving her own car. She is wrecking all the time. Her life is a literal wreck, okay? She has control over her actions, her ideas, and her thoughts. And one day, she decides to start playing with a Ouija board, okay? She starts to do a Facebook horoscope quiz. And eventually, she relinquishes control and gets in the passenger seat, and she allows the devil, the evil one, to come in and take control. And so because of her choices and her actions, she has now an open door of who's driving her life. Now the evil one is driving her life. Now there is someone that is not her own decisions, but instead she no longer has control, and she is now possessed by the evil one. And her life is still a wreck. It's still a bottomless pit. It's still not satisfying every desire that she has. And she's like, why is my life such a wreck? It's because she has moved from being in control to releasing control to the wrong person. Now, her life was a wreck when she was driving it herself as well. But I want to let you know that there's a third party, a savior, and his name is Jesus. For today's illustration, it's Spider-Man. Come on, somebody. It's Peter Parker died for our sins. Come on, somebody. And what Jesus does in your life is he will reject and kick out any type of spirit that does not belong. When they battle, you have to understand that Jesus commands us to cast out devils, meaning he doesn't move to the back seat. He doesn't move to the trunk. He instead gets totally kicked out, all the way out, and we allow Jesus to be the driver of our life, and we go where he says he wants us to go. And you didn't think that I could use this Barbie car for an illustration, but I did. Who has ownership? Who has ownership of your life? It's part of the ministry of the church is to cast out demons. It shouldn't be weird or uncommon. That's what Jesus does. You had control of your life. Maybe you gave control to the evil one. And now when Jesus comes in, he casts out the enemy. John, 1 John 4:4 says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I'm preaching way better than this church is shouting today. What we have is greater. It doesn't have to be weird. It's authority. It's powerful. And we can reject all demonic thoughts, all evil thoughts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you need deliverance today, our prayer team will be ready at the end of the service. They'll be down front at all of our locations because we want to make sure that you are free today. Matthew 10:7 says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It is not just my job to cast out demons, but instead, if you have the light of Christ, you have the same authority that raised Christ from the dead. So you need to confront the enemy. You need to confront the enemy. Now, number three, here's the last one as the keyboard player begins to play and I begin to land this plane. Come on, somebody. Here's what you need to know. Is that everyone is either being delivered by Jesus or requesting to be delivered from Jesus. Let me say that one more time. Everyone is either being delivered by Jesus or requesting to be delivered from Jesus. See, you're either receiving Jesus' deliverance or you're rejecting Jesus' deliverance. Let me teach for just a minute to all of my Christians here. There are areas of your life where God's trying to set you free, and it's not even demonic or dark, but you haven't relinquished control. I looked at the pigs. I was wondering, like, what in the world with the pigs? It's strange. 2,000 pigs? That's a lot of bacon. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of pigs. That's no joke. And for those days, you got to think that was a ton of pigs. 2,000 pigs is a lot. And what I realized is that this is the only time where Jesus goes into Roman territory or Gentile territory. This is the only time in his entire ministry that he leaves his Jewish region and goes to a region that is not Jewish. It's Roman territory. It's Gentile territory. And it's interesting because pigs in the Roman territory were valuable. They were livestock. They were food. They were business. They were income. It represented 2,000 pigs, represented a lot of money. Now, in the Jewish culture, they wouldn't be caught with pork or pigs. They wouldn't touch them. They would be an unclean animal. But Jesus went across the lake to a Roman territory, to Gentile territory, and he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town. They're like, this guy just stole from us. He just killed our money. He just killed our livelihood. And the people went to see what happened. Scholars believe that two deliverances were happening. This is where you have to listen to me here today, because if you're in Christ, you are not demon possessed. But if you are in Christ, this second deliverance could be for you today. See, scholars believe that he delivered the demons from the man to show freedom from the tormented spirit, but he delivered the Romans from their love of stuff by delivering them from materialism in those pigs. See, Jesus took away their stuff, and look what they said in verse 16. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. So they were like, you should see this guy that got free, and then you'll never believe what happened to my pigs. They were equally worried about the pigs as they were about the guy. Then the people begin to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Jesus sets a man free that they knew was possessed, but because he ruined their livelihood, because he jeopardized their income, they rejected him. So this is what I wrote in my notes. You might not need deliverance from Satan. You might need deliverance from your stuff. You might need deliverance from the boat on Sunday afternoons. You might need deliverance from that nice house that God supplied. You might need deliverance from that car you can't afford. Oh, I'm preaching today. You were fine when the sermon was about demons, but now that it's about the pigs, you need to realize that there is possession problems when your possessions possess you. Some of you aren't demon-possessed, you're stuff-possessed. And you're more worried about 2,000 pigs committing suicide than actually witnessing God do the miraculous. See, for the follower of Christ, salvation is immediate, but deliverance is both immediate and incremental. You're going to have to let go of some stuff. There are seasons when Jesus is going to say, are you sure you want all that? Are you sure you need all that? You need to bring it back to me. Ephesians 4:22 says, you were taught with regard of your former way of life to put off your old self, being corrupted and by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. If there's a word for anyone today at the sound of my voice, do not give the devil a foothold. It's interesting because Christians live defeated either because of the lies they believe or the lifestyle that they choose. One more time for the people in the back. Christians live defeated either because of the lies that they believe or the lifestyle that they choose. And I declare and decree that you don't have to believe those lies anymore. This is a really cool ending. I'll close with this. Last close. I know I had to close. Now it's the second close. Verse 18 says, as Jesus was getting into the boat. Remember, he was rejected. They said, get out of our town. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him go. He says, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. The very first missionary that Jesus said, go back to your own people. Go back home to your own people. Don't come with me. That will be almost easier. But go back to the people who saw you depressed. Go back to the people who saw you tormented. Go back to the people who saw you crazy. As a matter of fact, Jesus went to the foreign land and then he sent back a local to be a missionary to his own hometown. See, God can take you from manic to missionary. God can take you from possessed to living on purpose. God can take you from being bound up to being sent out. God can take you from being controlled to casting out demons in the name of Jesus. The one who was bound ended up being the one who brought the gospel. The one who was a manic ended up being a missionary. The one who was tormented in his mind ended up being used by God to change others. I don't know about you, but the same one that was controlled by demons ends up casting out demons. If you're in the room today at all of our locations with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you need to be set free from an evil spirit. I declare freedom in Jesus' name. Maybe you've opened a door in your heart to the demonic, to the dark arts, whatever it might be. We declare and decree freedom in Jesus' name. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's free indeed. Also, if you are obsessed or possessed with material things to the point where you've rejected Christ and sent him back on his way because you didn't like how he handled the pigs, I pray that you would be free from materialism in Jesus' name. I pray that you would relinquish control from anything that you have. I pray that you would not be controlled by any evil desires or materialistic desires. I pray that you would be set free also in Jesus' name. And at all of our locations, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to invite our campus pastors to take us through a time of worship and prayer for anyone who might just want a new spirit of freedom. Father, I pray at all of our locations right now, as people are seeking you and as people are experiencing freedom and as people are encountering God, I pray that in the next few moments we share together that the worship would arise and freedom would come in and chains would be broken and lives would be changed. And I pray that who the Son sets free would be free indeed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's clap our hands for God's word. Come on. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us, and thank you to those who give generously to make this ministry possible. You can click the link in our description to give now or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, share it with your friends, and while you're at it, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories and tag us at My Focus Church. We'd love to hear how God is speaking to you.